Let us turn now to Matthew's Gospel, the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 27. Matthew 27 and verse 35. Matthew 27, 35. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, "They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots." The commentator Plummer said of this section, "Here at the foot of the cross, a lottery is opened to dispose of the raiment of one not yet dead." Beside the cross, in effect, we have a casino. Here, in front of the glorious Saviour, men are indulging in gambling. Does anything sum up the nature of human nature better than that? We'd like to look at this choice made by these soldiers at the foot of the cross. First of all, notice they chose Christ's physical robe instead of his spiritual robe. They chose Christ's physical robe instead of his spiritual robe. It would appear that they took most of his clothes and ripped them up, and everyone got a part of that. But when it came to his seamless undergarment, they decided not to rip that, but instead to gamble for it, and the winner to get the whole of that seamless robe. And of course there's much superstition around this seamless robe of Christ, and many have made something of it, as if it was somehow something extra spiritual, but really it was worthless. It's just a piece of cloth. What they were gambling over was worthless. Just threads. Just cloth that would one day be eaten by moss or just decay and disappear into dust. And so they chose this worthless robe, right beside the one who was offering a spiritual robe. Here Christ is weaving a robe of righteousness. He's putting together a perfection for mankind. Righteousness is a big word, isn't it, children? We often use it and we don't explain it. Let me try and just very briefly explain what righteousness is. I'm sure you know what a bank account is. In a bank account, you've got one column, which is all the money you put in. And in the other column, you've got all the money you take out. So you've got pluses and you've got minuses. And at the bottom of it, you've got the total. The pluses take away the minuses, equals this. Sometimes you have more minuses than pluses, and so you've actually got a negative. You're in debt. And that's what you and I are like by nature. We have committed so many sins, so many minuses, that we have a huge big negative, a big red negative. We are lacking. But with Jesus, when he lived in the world, when you look down his column of moral credit. Not money credit, but moral credit. All we see is plus, 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 plus. And you look down his minus column and there's no minuses. There's no negatives. And so when we get to the bottom of his column, the number is so big that it can't fit on any piece of paper in the world. It's a one with so many zeros that it's an uncountable number. His moral bank account is overflowing. His righteousness, in other words. And what Jesus did was he came and he said, I'll take my righteousness and I'll put it into your moral bank account. Impute it, credit it. And this is often portrayed like a robe that Christ wove, a robe of righteousness, a robe of perfection. And he offers it to sinners to clothe themselves. And so come back here and see the awful choice these men made. They chose this worthless piece of material and rejected the priceless robe of Christ's righteousness, which would clothe them forever, long after this piece of garment had rotted and decayed. And when we come to sit at the table, what we're saying is, we have no robe, we have no covering, we have nothing that we can cover ourselves with. We're bankrupt and we are naked. But we have chosen this priceless robe of Christ's righteousness to clothe ourselves in, and that's our only hope. I wonder, friend, are you today still turning away from the priceless to the worthless? Are you still choosing to say no to this eternal robe that will cover your nakedness? And are you still trying to weave together some good works and good efforts and charity, which is just worthless and that will decay and perish? They chose the physical robe and rejected the spiritual robe of Christ's righteousness. But also, they chose the chance of gain instead of certain gain. They chose the chance of gain instead of certain gain. It was quite common for the crucifixion squad to take the remaining personal possessions of the crucified one and divide them up amongst themselves. It was one of the perks of the job, so called. And so here, they divide up all the different pieces of Christ's clothing, apart from this seamless robe, when they decide, well, let's, instead of ripping this up, let's make sure somebody gets a whole piece. And so, yeah, they think this is a good idea. And so they gamble for it. They cast lots. They decide who's to get this by the roll of the dice, as it were. And so here they're engaging in a game of chance, right in front of the one who rules the universe, with whom there is no ifs and no buts and no maybes and no perhapses, the one with whom there is certainty. In fact, the proverb says, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. In other words, yes, men may gamble, they may throw the dice, they may cast lots, but God is in control even of that. Even of that. Yes, although he wholly disapproves of gambling, he controls even gambling. In every casino, God is there, deciding who will win and who will lose. And here on the cross, is the Lord. Still in control, still in charge, still ruling over all, even over the lot. So that even the very lot that has been cast, the very game of gambling that's going on right at the foot of his cross, he's deciding. Even in the midst of his suffering and in the depths of his humiliation, he as God is deciding who will get that seamless garment. He's still in control. He's still in charge. And these men, they choose the chance of gain instead of the certain gain that they would get if they trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's certain gain, friends. I wonder, when you look at your own life, what choice are you making? Are you still choosing the chance of gain, still investing in this world and in all that it might offer if you might succeed? Are you making that your hope and your trust? The chance, the possibility that this might work and I could really make it and that would be life indeed. The chance of gain. And all the while in the gospel, here is Jesus saying, I give you certain gain. Gain that you can put your whole confidence in. Gain which is no gamble. But they, maybe you, chose the chance of gain instead of certain gain. Then thirdly here, they chose to expose the nakedness of the one who came to cover our nakedness. They chose to expose the one who came to cover our nakedness. It was the custom in these days at crucifixion that the crucified one be stripped completely naked. Just to fully and totally humiliate and shame the sufferer. Arthur Pink said of this, the first Adam was clothed by a gracious God, but the second Adam, the last Adam, was stripped by wicked men. Why was this necessary? Well, he came to bear the shame and the curse of our sin-caused nakedness in order to deliver us from it. If he was to deliver us from our spiritual shame and nakedness, he had to be shamed in front of the world. If we were not to be humiliated for all eternity, then he had to be humiliated fully on the cross. They chose to expose the one who came to cover our nakedness. Where do you find yourself today? Exposed or covered? But notice fourthly here, they chose the spoils of sin when he was purchasing the spoils of salvation. They chose the spoils of sin when he was purchasing the spoils of salvation. You remember Isaiah's prophecy of Christ's suffering. He said, he shall divide the spoil with the great. This was the custom in these days after a great victory. The conquered country or towns, possessions would all be taken back to the homeland and then divided up in a great ceremonial triumph. That was prophesied. It said, Christ will divide the spoil with the strong. He will accomplish a great triumph whereby he will dispossess his enemy, the devil, where he will capture all his captives and when he will celebrate their release. And in Colossians we're told in chapter 2:15 that he spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them, triumphing over them in it. This was the cross. And this is what Jesus was doing right here in these verses. He was purchasing the spoils of salvation. He was delivering the captives. He was releasing those who'd been captured by the evil one. He was destroying principalities and powers. He was purchasing the spoils of salvation. And what were they doing? They chose the spoils of sin. Here they seek to profit from the benefits of the greatest crime ever committed. While he is capturing and delivering and ruining, capturing and ruining the evil one and delivering his people, what spoils, what triumph. Here, all they can think about is how can we profit from this greatest of crimes. It seems so hideous, doesn't it? So inappropriate. And yet, does that not describe many lives also? Trying to profit from sin. Trying to make a gain from sin. Rather than entering in to the spoils of Christ that he has purchased. But fifthly here, they choose time-limited benefits in the face of eternal benefits. They chose time, temporal benefits in the face of eternal benefits. Here they are, gambling. You ever watched Gamblers? It's a sad sight, but you'll notice the concentration, the focus, the determination, the anxiety to win and not lose. And then the triumph, the success, the joy of winning. All this is going on here. As they gamble, see their faces. Look at their eyes. Feel the intensity. See the joy of the one who wins as he goes away with his spoil, with his few ounces of material. What I've won. What I've gained. Maybe go home and wear it. Maybe hand it on to his son. And there's some benefit in that. Some warmth. Some protection from the weather maybe. Some benefit. But also time limited. So temporal. Just so temporary. For how many years? Until it wears out and it's cast in a bin. And now it's dust somewhere in the world. When they could have had eternal benefits. When have they looked up as the thief on the cross looked sideways? They would have seen one who would have given them benefits and blessings and gifts that would last not just here in this world but for all eternity. Forever and forever and forever. That would never perish, where moth and rust would never corrupt and thieves could never break through or steal. The temporal they choose in the face of the eternal. How ridiculous, we say. We'd never do that, would we? Well, most of us did, didn't we? Unless we were converted very, very, very young, we at least spent some years making that choice, choosing time-limited benefits instead of eternal benefits, taken up with what lasts for a day or a year or a 10 years or maybe a lifetime. But then nothing. When we could have had eternal benefits, and praise God if He's enabled you to look away from this perishing, decaying world to everlasting life in Christ. What a marvel that one day He lifted your eyes above the dust of the earth and made you to see the eternal Son of God. Where is your eyesight today? What angle of vision do you have? Is it just all down and time bound? Or is it up and labouring for eternity? And then sixthly, they chose to steal from the one who came to give. Roman law allowed them to take the last possessions of the crucified and to divide it among themselves, but God's law didn't. This was an act of thieving. This was theft. The few possessions he had, they were taken away from him and his family, worthless though they may have been. But they stole. They stole. They stole from the one who came to give, whose whole life was about giving. And he would have given them not just the shirt off his back, but his very heart and soul. Here, they are stealing from the giver of every good and perfect gift. The one who had given them anything they had in life. The one who was giving them breath, any health, strength, family, benefits in this world. They were all his gift. And yet still they had to take more by force. Stealing what was not theirs. Taking what was his by right. And again, you might think, well, I would never have done that. Have we not done it? Christians here, can we not look back and say, he gave and he gave and he gave, but I could never have enough. Before I was converted, I was stealing even more that was not my right. I was stealing the Sabbath day for my own pleasure. And my own leisure, my own business. I was stealing time from him. And then of all that he gave me, what did I give back? Oh, I kept it all for myself. We're stealing from the one who came to give. And when we think now of all that he gave, we think, no sacrifice is too great. Seventhly, they chose cruelty in the face of his kindness. They chose cruelty in the face of his kindness. They rip his last few possessions to pieces and expose his nakedness. You think of the curse that came upon Ham for exposing Noah's nakedness, his father. How much more of a curse would fall upon such men, surely, for exposing the nakedness of the Son of God. What cruelty! What unkindness! When they could have had loving kindness from the Lord himself. And then finally they chose to disobey his will and so fulfilled his will. From the Roman soldiers' perspective, they were disobeying the will of God. They were breaking his law. But notice what the verse says. They crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. That's what we read in Psalm 22. David there is speaking of his own sufferings. And as the Spirit inspires him, he begins to see that he's actually describing something that he's never experienced, something far deeper, higher, wider, longer in suffering than he's ever passed through. And he's elevated and carried forward and further and enabled by the Spirit to see his sufferings as a picture of far greater sufferings. And he begins to describe the life of Christ and the sufferings of Christ and the death of Christ. And he specifically speaks of this in Psalm 22 that never happened to him, that only happened to the Lord. They parted my garments among them, and on my vesture they cast lots. This was 1,000 years before. And so they are disobeying his will. And yet all the time, under God's overruling sovereign hand, they are fulfilling his will. They are sinning, and he is making all their sin to work together for his glory and the good of sinners. They meant evil, but God meant it for good. And his will be done. We may think, I'm going to fight it, and I'm going to argue against it, and I'm going to defeat it. Never! His will be done. And it becomes us all to bow, to submit, to surrender, to stop gambling, to stop taking a chance, and to put our confidence and our trust solely, only, and completely in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, we do confess that we have made similar awful choices in our lives. Please forgive us. Help us to stop gambling with our souls. And enable us to turn away from all these choices and to choose thee by thy grace. We pray for thy dear people here today that they would be enabled by their confession and partaking of thy supper to say, thou my sure portion art, O Lord, which I did choose alone. O help us then to say, I am the Lord's, and the Lord is mine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.